Hallelujah. Well, welcome everybody. Good evening to those that are visiting us, and for those of you who are part of the furniture and part of the building and part of the pillar of this church, we thank you, we welcome you. brought your Bibles? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's just pray for His word first, and then we'll start. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're a wonderful teacher. Lord, your word is ancient. Your word never changes, just like you never change, Father. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your word is always like that too. Your word is like you. You said you're holy because you are one with your word. That everything about you is one. You have placed your word above yourself, Father. And that's why we can, Lord, believe your word. We can hear your word. We can read your word and truly understand and know that you never go back on your word. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. Teach us this evening. Speak to us and inspire us by your word. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we had a wonderful morning this morning with the All Boys Gospel Band. Did you enjoy that ministry? I really did. It was really, really great seeing these guys still on the road ministering to the prisons in Queensland and even in New South Wales, going and visiting those that are incarcerated. It's an amazing ministry. That's really what Jesus wants us to do. Visit, never too old for anything. That's why they call the Old Boys Gospel Band. I love that band. It's great. And I love the spirit of each and every one of them. They really, you can see the gifts that they have that speaks for itself. The gifts make their way for them to be able to go and minister to those people inside the prison. So, and they are friends. We haven't seen them for the last 3 years, and they're here again, and they want to come back. And we said, well, come back. If we have to fly you back and go up there again and minister to those people, why not? Amen? Hallelujah. God inspired me in the morning as I was preparing my heart, and I didn't have a word because the Old Boys Gospel Band was ministering. So I thought, you know what, I'll just go and relax and receive some ministry for a change. But God said, no, I'm going to speak to other people. And so He started downloading. I like God when He downloads. And you know how when God downloads, it doesn't stop. And I'm running around looking for, and every time He downloads, I have to run around for a pen to write something down, because I can't remember everything. And so I did memorize some scriptures, but I had to go and write it down. And this evening, I actually put a small sermon for you today. And really, it's just based on what I spoke about this morning, because I love when God says that there's a book that's written about us. Every person sitting inside this room has a book written for him. Your life has already been finished by God. And that's what got me so inspired. And I know there's a lot of people here. Carl and Marina, Jeff and Marina as well. This relates to you. This relates to anybody that has chose to serve God. Whether it's in your profession or whether you chose to serve Him full-time, like some of us who were unwilling to do that, but we had no choice because God already ordained that. There's a book written about us already. So I couldn't shake that. Hallelujah. And my message today is about faith and vision, because both of them go really well together. Faith doesn't operate unless there's vision, and vision doesn't operate unless faith. And both of them work together, because the kingdom of God is about vision and about faith. Hallelujah. So I just want to start by saying that your faith is as strong as the test it survives. Most of our faith that we have is strong when it's been tested. If God wants to take you to a place where you've never been before, well, He's not going to do that unless you have been tested. Your faith has been tested to make sure that it survives where He wants to take you there. Amen? Many believers walk around making daily claims. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praising and worshiping God, and when everything is fine. That's great. I mean, all of us do that. We praise God when everything is fine, but do we praise God when we are going through some hard times? See, we need to rediscover this faith. And being a pastor of the church, I have to go back and rediscover this faith for myself, because without that, I have nothing to stand on. And I cannot stand here and minister to you from something that I haven't actually experienced. And so I praise God that He's taken me through some things in my earlier days in this country that I can actually say, if you want to talk to me about faith, then leave it before you can come and talk to me about it. Because faith is an amazing, amazing thing that God has given us. Hallelujah. The faith has never truly been tested. And it's easy to say God is good when things are going well. And what about the bad times? What about when you're going through some stuff? Is God still good for you? Is He still good when you're going through some difficult times? Hallelujah. None of us are exempt from that. We are not immune to problems of this world or problems that are facing us every day. God allows our faith to be tested so we can see how strong we are. His purpose is to help you grow. That's really what it is. For you to grow in Christ is for your faith to be tested so that you can grow. Hallelujah. Because He knows that untested faith is not valid faith. Let me just say that again. An untested faith is not valid. God says, no, you haven't been tested yet, so I can't take you to the place that I want to take you. Amen? Can somebody say amen to that? That's really powerful. Testing of our faith serves not only to show the strength of our faith, but also to reveal the motive behind our faith. There's a motive behind everything. Man has so much motive. People that serve in ministries have so much motives. And a few of them don't have motives that are connected to God's motives. Some people have their own little agendas and little motives. Hallelujah. The testing of our faith serves not only to show strength, but also to reveal the motive behind it. Why are you in ministry? Why are you doing this? What do you expect from this thing? Motive is birthed by beliefs and convictions. When you believe something and you have conviction about it, then motive becomes something that you can, it's birthed inside of you. If you say, I trust God, why do you trust God? That's the question. A lot of people say, I trust God. Yes? Do you still trust God when nothing is happening right for you? Why do you trust God? That's the question. Is it because of who He is, or is it because you hope to get something out of it? A lot of us like to get something out of God every time. Well, I remember preaching one time, and I said, God is not your Father Christmas. You don't go to Him because you want something, and then don't go to Him. We don't have anything. And that's really what we must change our mindset. And this is what my message is all about today. It's short, but it's straight. So I want you to receive this in your spirit. Excuse me. If you say, I trust God, then why do you trust in Him? Is it because of who He is? He is God and we trust Him? Or is it because you want something from Him? Satan accused Job of following God only because God had blessed him. It is a good example for all of us here today. Satan says, you call Job a man after your own, or a man that is righteous because you've blessed him with so much stuff. He wanted to reveal the motive behind Job's faith, to reveal whether or not Job would continue to follow God even after he had lost everything. This is a very familiar scripture that you and I like to quote every time. When we talk about faith, we bring Job in because Job was the one. Job's the man. He the man. Everything about Job is about faith and about trusting God when knowing that God is God and not just because he wants something from God. Amen? We must rediscover this faith. And this is really why I wanted to speak to you guys about this morning. I mean, this evening. Why did the people consider Jesus' words a hard teaching? You know, Jesus had people following him. But then all of a sudden they started to trickle away. And they said, your teaching's too hard. And Jesus looked at his 12 and he says, all right, they've gone. And he looked at the other 12 and says, what about you? Are you going to go too? And I like what they said. They said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. Hallelujah. We're going to stay with you, Jesus, regardless of what. And this morning I said, Jesus is a very controversial man. He wasn't a religious man. It's very controversial. All the religious people really don't like Jesus. And I used to wonder, what would he be like if he had a church? It'd be an amazing church if Jesus was here. We'll stop worshiping him and following him because he's just an amazing guy, you know? Because they realized that he was calling them. This is why people consider Jesus' words a hard teaching. Because they realized that he was calling them to follow him with no guarantees of fish and bread. They weren't guaranteed anything. He didn't guarantee them anything. He says, just follow me. Walked up to Peter, he says, follow me, I'll make you the fishers of men. Calling them to be with him, even though they do not know what lies in the future. Calling them to follow him without knowing the outcomes in advance, content to leave the future in his hands. That's what we are doing right now. Who is this man called Jesus that we are sitting here right now worshiping this man? You know, when I discovered Jesus, totally transformed my life ever. I was never the same person again. And I said something, I said, if you truly have met God, then you cannot remain the same. It is impossible for you to meet God and still remain the same. If you still remain the same, then something, you haven't really totally met him. But if you do meet God, your life will never be the same again. It'll be transformed. Your friends will change. You'll lose all your friends, your so-called friends that you think you have friends. But when you have Christ inside of you, then nobody likes you. You know, when I said something on Sunday morning, I said, nobody likes you. You guys hear me say that all the time. And everybody gets, sure, who? Pastor just said that nobody likes us. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, if they do hate me, then they will hate you too. People like you because you pretend to be like them. But when you stand for righteousness, when you stand for holiness, when you stand for Jesus and say, there is no compromise in my life, nobody's going to like you. Why? Because you carry a spirit that's different to them. And they don't want to be near you because there's something about you that's so different. And so people don't like you. I mean, look at what's happening in this country right now. I mean, everything that's happening with our brother Falau and all this stuff. But that's another salmon, hallelujah. That's kingdom faith, church. Faith that trusts God whether he blesses us or not. These people followed Jesus regardless if they're going to be... They were not after anything. They loved something about this man called Jesus. They understood who he was. When that rich... The rich ruler came to Jesus and said... And Jesus asked him, have you followed all the commandments? And he says, oh yeah, I followed everything from when I was a little boy till now. Every command I have actually followed. Jesus said, all right. I love Jesus. He said, all right, go sell everything and follow me. The young man didn't understand that. And these guys never followed Jesus because they wanted something. Whether he delivers or not, whether he heals them or not, they do not really care. They were following this man. Kingdom faith trusts Jesus no matter what. Because it knows that he has what? The words of life. Jesus said, I have the words of life. I came so that you may have life and life abundantly. Very simple statement, but very powerful. Jesus said, I bring life to you. King David discovered that. I'm just setting up for my message. So it's an introduction. I like introduction. I like bringing introduction to my actual message so you can follow me. King David discovered that, and he wrote in Psalm 63 verse 3, he says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. This man called King David discovered the love of God. And he says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Don't build your faith on what God showed you. Let me just say that again. Don't build your faith on what God showed you. Build your faith on who God is. That's really because signs and wonders, miracles, when that goes away, are you still going to follow God? Are you still going to follow God because God showed you something and you go, I'm going to go because God just showed me something. Then I'm going to become like this. I'm going to become like that. But you follow him because he's offering you something or you follow him because he's God? We must really change our mindset. Don't build your faith on what God showed you. Build it on the kingdom faith. That is what? Tested faith. There are many of you sitting here today in this room, including me in the past, always praying. And this is what our prayer sounds like. God, if you're here, say something to me. Are you familiar with that prayer? God, if you're here, say something to me. Show me a sign. You're praying and you're saying, God, show me a sign. Say something. I want to hear your voice. Let me tell you something. God didn't say to hear him, touch him, smell. He says, only what? Believe. He says, just believe in me. He didn't tell you to go and try and do all these other ways of finding him. He says, only believe. Believe in me and believe in my word. Hallelujah. There are many of you sitting here today and we pray like that. Some of us I used to pray like that. God, show me a sign, show me. You know what? I've stopped asking God for signs. Because now I remember when I pray to him, he downloads. And I go, wow, I've never seen, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. I don't have to feel some kind of a tingling sensation to know that the Holy Spirit's around. He's around. He's living inside of me. So when I say, God, I don't have a word. Give me a word. Boom, it comes. And you go, oh, wait, hang on a minute. I need to find a pen. And starts writing stuff down. Hallelujah. If you're here to show, you know, if you're here for signs and wonders, let me just. See, I'm talking to somebody tonight. Hallelujah. This is a message for somebody tonight. I am so blessed. Thank you. Hallelujah. See, God knew. If you're looking for signs and wonders, I'm sorry to disappoint you. God doesn't operate that way. And that is why you get frustrated and God doesn't exist. And then you say, God doesn't exist or he's not listening to me. Listen, let me tell you an example about signs and wonders. Nobody sees more signs and wonders than the children of Israel. They saw everything. Pillar by the cloud by day and fire by night. Red Sea opening up. Water coming out of the rock. Manna from the heavens. Have you ever been in that situation where you're receiving from God like that? No. They seen everything. But yet none of them entered the promised land. Why? Because they did not what? Believe. God says, only believe. That's why signs and wonders don't change people's minds. It never changed. I've seen it all. I've seen people, I came out of crusades where I've seen miracles and miracles upon miracles, blind eyes opening and legs growing and people coming off the wheelchair. I've seen it all. But at the end of the day, and I always tell you guys all the time, the principles of God never change. The word does not change. It stays the same. We have to respect the word. It doesn't respect you. And so the principle doesn't say, people go, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh. You know, the Holy Spirit's here to teach us that we must be grounded, regardless of what. Because if you're a person that follows after signs and wonders, then you don't have a foundation to stand on when the trial and when the trials and tribulations come. Hallelujah. He says, simply believe in me. When we believe in him, that's when he will reveal himself to us. When you start to believe God and believe his word, not only believe in God, but believe in what his word says, when you do that, it starts to reveal himself to you through his word and by his spirit. Hallelujah. Don't believe that he exists. The devil also believes that. Believe what he says in the book. The devil believes in God also. But our belief must be on his word. Because the devil says that he knows his word, but he doesn't. He uses it all the time to contradict God's word to you and I. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works, where? In us. Hallelujah. Miracles don't change minds. Look at the example that I said already in the children of Israel. None of them entered the promised land because none of them believed. They saw everything. They saw signs and wonders, and they're still complaining. Hallelujah. And that's really, sometimes we have people like that in the church who like to see signs and wonders. And when nothing like that happens, they go, oh, you're not just going to find another church where there's something happening. You know, the word of God is the most powerful weapon that you can have in your life. Put it inside of you. Because when it comes out with what? Life. When you speak to people, life comes out of it. Why? Because you've placed life inside your heart. Hallelujah. They've seen it all, but they could not enter. Psalms 139, verse 16. Your eyes, and this is my favorite scripture. This is the scripture that inspired me this morning. That is why the scripture really blesses me. I have discovered that in my own life, that there is a book written about me. I'm talking about vision and I'm talking about faith here this evening. But I want to say this to you. Psalm 139, verse 16. Let's read that together. This is what God says. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. That's God talking to you, Jovita. That's God talking to you, Jesse. This is God saying there is a book. I said that this morning, but I just wanted to bring that before you in a sermon. There's a book written about you that only God knows. And I think I spoke about the secrets that God thinks about you. Hallelujah. There's a book that's already finished. Let me tell you something about the God that you and I serve. God finished your life, wrote in his book, backed up. Excuse me. Let me go a bit forward now. I'm getting action-packed, yeah? God created your life. Joe, come here. This is your life. This is your life. God created you, backed up. This is how God is. When he finished you, then he started from here. So you and I are actually living a finished life. Our lives have already been written down by God, fashioned by God, ordained by him. That's why he says that man plans in his heart, but God, what? Orders his steps. Why? Because God knows your path already. And the only way that you can get to that place and truly fulfill your walk or the book and the story of your life is by God ordaining it and moving you away from stuff. Thank you, Joe. We all used to experiment with life. I mean, I always say this. Life is not for us to experiment. God didn't give us life to experiment. It is not for you to go and experiment with it. And we've done that. We've done dumb things. We've, you know, taken drugs and all that other stuff. And that's because we didn't understand there's a book written about us until you come to Christ Jesus. And okay, the only way that you can find your fulfillment in your life, that book that was written about you has to align with what? This book. So I keep saying to this to you all the time, this is a manual that we live our life by. If you live your life based on this manual, you will never go wrong. Never. I can guarantee you that. Hallelujah. God finished your life, wrote it in his book, backed up, and then created you. That is why when you live without Christ Jesus, you are experimenting with life. Groping around in the dark, I said that this morning, with no clear vision of why you were born, why you exist. People commit suicide and do all dumb things because they don't know about life. They don't know about why they were created. Hallelujah. Powerful scripture, Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. He already fashioned your life and formed it and saw it, finished it, and then came back and created us to live it. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus said, I came that you may have life, and life what? Abundantly. Every one of us lived irresponsible lives in the past. But now, when we come to Christ Jesus, then our life becomes to operate in order. God says, now you're walking according to the book that I've actually written about you. There's a book finished about your life. Hallelujah. That is why Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, a man his heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his path. If God directs your path in everything that you do, you will fulfill everything that God called you to do. Guaranteed. Hallelujah. Some of us didn't know that we're going to be who we are right now. But then we can't fight it because God says, I've already ordained your life. I've already planned it. Jeff and Marina, God called you out of... You've got a powerful testimony, my brother. I've only had just a little tip of the iceberg, but I know why God called you out. All the crusades and all the mission trips that you guys have done, left your business, left everything, and went on the road to serve God. That's a book written about your life already. We spoke about it this morning. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit about this. Notice the Bible says a man's heart. We were never created to see vision with our eyes. Never. We were never created to see vision with our eyes, because your eyes will always see things as they are. What you see is what your eyes tells you. But faith doesn't tell you that. Hallelujah. That's why already enough to discourage you. Once you see something that's not right, you're already discouraged. Even before you were supposed to go and do what God has called you to do, your eyes are saying, I can't do this. This is too hard. I was questioning God about this church. Are you sure you got the right person right here? I did Moses on God. I did Gideon on God. I did Jonah on God. I ran away. This guy's no. I ran away from all my responsibilities. And I'm supposed to be the guy next to Pastor Bill. He couldn't look anywhere else. And I cut covenant with this man. I went to his house and broke bread and cut covenant with him. And spoke into his face and said, I am serving with you all the way to eternity. Regardless of what. Whatever happens, I am with you. And that's why when he left, God was looking for covenant. He says, I didn't see covenant there. Oh, Ben, I saw covenant. And God reminded me of that. He said, you have cut covenant with this man. And number two, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness. And I know, because I want to build a business to fund the kingdom of God. I want to register a company and did everything. And, you know, the bank was about to give me the money and blah, blah, blah. All the investors were ready. And then 6 months before Pastor Bill left the church, boom, everything closed, shut down. It was like the everything dried up. And I'm sitting there going, hang on a minute, God. You gave me this vision to fund the kingdom of God. I'm using my gifts to be able to create wealth to fund your kingdom. That's really what I want to do. Pastor Bill rings up and goes, I'm going to leave the church with you. I went, what? Am I hearing right? God, are you, is it, am I? I was fighting this thing. And then God reminded me of the covenant and then of his word. He said, come, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness. And that's why I came back. And so for 2 years I shelved the company and didn't want to do anything, because I came back to take this church. I questioned God until I finally did Moses on God, and I said, God, I can't do this unless you are going to talk to these people. I did exactly what Moses does, and to this day I still do. When I see a problem in the church, I go talk to God. If you come and talk to me at a problem, I'll send you go and talk to God. Why? Because that's his problem. I've been talking to God about problems of the church. I've been talking to God about problems of people. And God always delivers all the time. Where? Through his word. He says, don't go talk to them face to face. Otherwise, they'll think that you're trying to be somebody over them. Speak my word on the pulpit. Hallelujah. It corrects people. It brings correction. Hallelujah. So, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his path. That was really what I was up to. Vision comes from the heart, church. It doesn't come from your eyes. Remember, let me just give you a scripture. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 to 10. Listen to what God says. Remember the former things, those long ago. And then he says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. He said it twice. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Verse 10, and then he says, I make known the end from the beginning. Your end, God already make known to you. Hallelujah. I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Why? Because I am God. God says, I have made known your end from the beginning. When Joseph saw his vision, he saw his end in the beginning. And he was so excited about the vision that God gave him that he just had to go and blubber his mouth and told his brothers about it and told his father. And guess what? They started to hate him. They started to turn around and go, who are you again? He was a little fellow, and God started to speak to him, showed him a vision that he's going to become that person, a king, a prime minister of Egypt. Hallelujah. God finishes with the end first and then starts again. One thing that I want to remind you, vision, and that God has taught me one lesson. Never share your vision with somebody who's going to trample on it. The Bible says, do not throw your, what? Matthew chapter 7 verse 6 says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample on them under their feet and tear you apart or tear you to pieces. Share your vision with people that are going to stand with you and go, you can do this. You can do that. We support you. We can help this. We can work together. So I stopped sharing vision with people, except people that I trust. Hallelujah. It begins with the end, and he says, I also make known the end from the beginning. That is where vision comes from, church. God saw my future before he started it. God saw your future before he started it. God saw your ministry, your boat, your mission field into PNG. God saw all that before he even started it. That's how good God is. That's the God you and I are serving right now. I talked about faith, and then I'm talking about vision. Both of them go together. Hallelujah. Be careful who you share your vision to. Jesus said, do not throw your pearls to the pigs. Let me just talk about vision for a bit. Vision is not ambition. I realize that vision is not an ambition. Most people are driven by ambition rather than vision. People get excited. Oh, I got this idea. Really? Is it your ambition or is it a vision from God? Hallelujah. God will always make sure that the vision doesn't benefit you. Let me just say that again. It's a good one. The vision must not benefit you alone. Your vision must be able to bless other people. If your vision is self, oh, I just saw a truck. I had a dream about this new truck and a new house. That's actually covetousness. That's not a vision from God. Hallelujah. People come to me and say, oh, I just saw this and I saw that and I thought, all right. But I'm careful with people that come with visions to me. I always check first if it benefits people, if it benefits the church, if it benefits those that are around. Your vision must be able to bless people. Your vision must be able to empower people. Your vision must be able to encourage and bless people. Hallelujah. People need to be saved in your vision, transformed in your vision. Hallelujah. Vision benefits, when you get a vision from God, it benefits other people. It blesses people. It makes them better. It prospers them spiritually and physically, makes them succeed and progress. That's a vision from God. When people around you are blessed because of a vision, then you are a blessing to the kingdom. I'm talking about guys who are sitting inside this church right now. Because their passion and their vision has blessed so many. You guys know what it's like. I'm about making sure that if I'm going to be successful in anything, then I want people to be blessed. I want those that are in need to be able to have something as well. Hallelujah. A vision from God is never self-centered. It's always others-centered. It must be centered on others. When you know that your vision is actually blessing others, then you know it's from God. Joseph's vision was about him sitting on a throne, feeding people. That's a God vision. When people get blessed because of your vision, God doesn't give you vision just for yourself. He gives you vision because he knows the gift that you have. He knows the ability and the potential that you have to be able to bless others. And you are a person that doesn't leave holding on to stuff because you understand that ownership is not from the kingdom of God, but living in excess because you serve a mighty king that owns everything. There's a king that owns everything. You and I are just stewards of everything that he gives you. The new car you bought, bless somebody with it. I said it last 2 Sundays ago. Be a blessing to the kingdom of God. When God blesses you with something, be able to bless somebody else. Hold on to material things loosely because God may need it. Hallelujah. And that's why when you get a vision, it's supposed to bless others. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. This is Jesus' vision. Let me tell you about Jesus' vision. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What joy was Jesus talking about? What was the joy that was set before Jesus? Jesus saw millions and millions of people coming into the kingdom of God. Jesus saw thousands and millions of people getting redeemed back into the kingdom of God. He saw that. Even before he went on the cross. He was born to die on the cross. He spent 30 years of his life working as a carpenter, blessing his father's business, repairing all the tables and chairs. And he was a cabinet maker. He was a skillful man. And then after 30 years, God says, all right, time for ministry work. That's why some of us go, hang on a minute. God must prepare you in a place to build your faith, build your character, build everything up before you can actually go into ministry. Jesus took only 3.5 years, completed his ministry. Didn't take 20 years, 3.5. He duplicated himself to the people, to his 12. He said, that's it. That's all I need. 12 guys with the same mindset, with the same character, with the same spirit, with that go get him attitude. Hallelujah. Nothing can faze those guys. And he picked them. Handpicked them. And he said, that'll do me. 3.5 years. And then he left. He was born to die. He saw his vision. He saw thousands of people coming to the kingdom of God. That was what he was saying. For the joy that was set before him. He was so excited about that. He saw it. And so you and I, when we get a vision from God, make sure that it's a vision that's going to be a blessing to your family, to your church, to your colleagues, to anybody that's around you. Become a blessing to them. God never works on people having all this abundantly blessed and just, where are you going to put it? Naked you come, naked you go. The same way you came, the same way you will go. You're not going to drag onto that Hilux four-wheel drive with you, drive it to heaven. It doesn't happen. You're not going to grab anything that's so precious to you to take it up. When you go, you go. That's it. That was two weeks ago. Hallelujah. Jesus saw all that. Most Christians have visions like big houses and big cars. That's actually self-centered visions. Let me just, as your pastor, tell you that. That's self-centered. If he doesn't bless anybody, then it's not a vision from God. Okay, so be careful when you get visions like, oh, I saw a big car with red, big wheels and everything. No, not from God. Jeff, did you say something? Hallelujah. That is pure covetousness. Covetousness, I say. A vision from God will always improve humanity, uplift the downtrodden, improve those who have been destitute, and make men's lives better. Vision from God. This church was planted by a vision from God. People are blessed because everything is done here is done for the people. We're here because of the people, and that's really what it is. Hallelujah. Vision is never self-promoting. We don't promote anything. Christ said, the greatest among you shall become slaves of all. I always say, I'm just a water boy for Jesus. I just carry his water around. Like, you know, the guys who run into the field and wipe people's face and all the players. That's me. I do that. I'm nobody. I'm just your water boy. And so he said, the greatest of them all will become what? Slaves. Jesus was the greatest example of that. Did you notice that he never rushed into ministry? That really, really spoke to me. He never rushed into ministry. He knew already what he was about to do. So he knew the time would come for him to go. And so he stayed and helped his father as a carpenter before he went out and became the savior of the world. Hallelujah. And when he started his ministry, he was 30 years old and finished it and completed it. There was a book written about him. And that book allowed him to go and complete everything that his father ordained him to do. So as every one of us sitting here today, let me encourage you. There's a book written about you. Everything about you has already been set in place. All we need to do is go back and operate and walk on the principles of God. That's it. Now, if this coincides with the book of, it's like balancing, who's an accountant here? You know, when they're balancing the books? Make sure this book is balanced with the book that God wrote about you. It's got to be like that. It's got to be balanced. And the only way that we can get it balanced is to walk according to his principles. He knew that his life was already been written in the book. He knew he was born for one thing and one thing only, and that is to redeem mankind. Hallelujah. Let the author and the finisher of your faith, that's who he is, finish everything. Whatever that God has started in your life, my Bible says he will finish the good work that he has started in your life. Whatever it is, whatever vision that he's given you, whatever passion that you have, he will complete it. He will finish it. Whatever good works that he's already started, Marina and Jeff, he will finish the good work that he started on your life with the ministries that you've got, guys have been doing. You've been such a blessing to the kingdom of God. You know, guys like yourselves. And there's more, there's more people here that have been such a blessing to the kingdom of God. That is really what it is all about. Hallelujah. Live your life to the fullest in Christ Jesus. Let him guide you according to this book. That's my message this evening. That's not much, but it's principles and standards of God that we must follow. There's a vision. We have a vision here, and I'm going to read that vision for the church later. But let the author and the finisher of the faith finish your work. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy, I like this verse, like the scripture. 2 Timothy, verse 4 to chapter 4, verse 68. Paul, with all confidence, said this. He said, "For I am already being what? Poured out like a drink offering." I like Paul. He says, I have, you know, he lived everything about his vision, about his calling, about his potential. God totally called him to do something, and he lived it and finished it. It's like Jesus, it is finished. "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near," he says. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." That's the faith that you and I are talking about this morning, this evening. That faith that doesn't shake, that doesn't move, that doesn't go anywhere, regardless of what. "I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me to on the day that not only me, but also to all who have longed for this, for his appearing." He says, I have finished. Be like Paul. Whatever God has called you to do, do it to the full potential that you have. Do it with the spirit of excellence. Complete it. No half business. That's why coming to ministry is very important. If you're going to come and serve, then be prepared to serve. This is not a 6 months job or a 3 months job, and then I go, "Oh, I changed my mind now. I don't want to be in this. No. When you put your hands to the plow, that's it. That's it for me. I had a dream and a vision. God says, "All right, align your dream and the vision with my vision and dream for you." I'm standing here because of God's vision. And so if you're going to serve in ministry, I'm talking to leaders now, people who call themselves leaders, serve and complete the work. Finish it. Paul says, "I have been what? Poured out like a drink offering." Die empty. If you're going to die, die without nothing. Leave everything behind. Leave a legacy behind. Leave something that people can stand there and go, "Wow, that's Pastor Pappy. That's Papa Joe." Your legacy speaks for you. Hallelujah. Die empty. Finish everything, and then when you die, you can go and walk into the presence of God. Hallelujah. This book must coincide with the one God wrote for you. Joshua chapter verse 1, chapter 1 verse 8. "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." That's God's promise to Joshua. He said, "Josh, that's all I can say to you is this. Keep this book of the law close to your heart. Read it. Walk in it. Walk in the principles. Don't worry about signs and wonders. Don't worry about all these high-powered prophecies and things like that. At the end of the day, what? You come back to the principles. It doesn't change. When the dust settles, the principle still stands." And we teach a lot of principles in this church because I want people to be able to stand. I don't want people to look at me. I want people to see the Holy Spirit. Look at the Holy Spirit. Understand who he is. You know, people left because Pastor Bill left. But I said, no, you guys have got it all wrong. You don't follow men. You follow what the Spirit is doing. And so I want you to understand that. Do not put your focus on men, because man will always let you down. Man will always let you down. Focus on the Spirit. The Spirit never lets you down. He's always, whatever he says it. And so finish. Do your work. Complete it. Whatever that you've been given, whatever task that has been given to you, complete it. Do it. Finish it. That's doing things with the Spirit of excellence. Hallelujah. That's vision and faith. Two things that will carry us through. When we have a vision, the church moves on. You know, the vision of this church was here. I saw that God has blessed us in the community in order for us to reach out to people of all ages. There was one that really blessed me. And that is the principles. It says we must live according to the eternal principles of the Word of God, the Bible, to be faithful to that commitment at all times, in all circumstances. That's one of the vision statement in our Living Light vision. The world is changing. Look at what's happening around the churches here. People are preaching messages to, because they're scared of men. They're frightened of offending people. I don't want to do that. I never want this to happen in this church. If you're going to preach here, preach the Word of God. Preach what the Holy Spirit is telling you to preach. Don't water it down and custom make the gospel to please somebody. You don't do that. You preach the Word as it is. Preach it and call it as it is. Hallelujah. You know, that's God's Word. If anybody has a problem with it, go and talk to God. It's not my problem. He wrote the book. I am just quoting and reading from the book and preaching from the book. Hallelujah. That's where you can take so much confidence in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your Word. Whatever that's been shared tonight, I know that each and every person here, they're here because you called them to be here. You ordained them to be here. You timed them so well that they'll be sitting inside this room listening to this message tonight. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, help us to be people that will preach your Word, Lord, with passion, with integrity, with no compromise, Father. Preach it like the way you've asked us to preach. Preach it like the way those that have gone before us preach. Father, we thank you. I pray your blessing upon this church. I pray your protection upon this church. I pray each and every person sitting inside this room, all the families, men, women, and children, Father, as we continue to serve you and do the work that you've called us to do, Father, we pray, Lord, that you protect us, keep us safe as we continue to, Lord, preach your Word, O God, so that your Spirit be able to change the lives of those that walk into this place. Thank you, God, for the practical ministry that is happening inside this church. Thank you, God, because it's your vision. Thank you, God, because when others are blessed, then we are blessed. Thank you for reminding us that the vision is not supposed to be for ourselves, but the vision must bless others, oh God. Father, we thank you. Give us that faith and strengthen our faith. Let us rediscover this faith again, that, Lord, it'll become ever so strong in our lives as we continue to serve you. I pray for your protection upon each and every person as they themselves go out to preach the gospel, as they go out to minister, doing the ministries that you've called them to do. Father, pray your mercy, traveling mercies and guidance, protection upon them. Lord, we bring this service to a close and we thank you. Continue to speak to us, God, through visions and dreams. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Hallelujah.